Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. On day 19 of the government shutdown, congressional leaders continue to dig in and frame the other side's position in context of major events from this weekend. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said that of Republicans,
they care more about George Santos and freeing him than they do about providing health care to everyday Americans.
He was on ABC's This Week. So was Speaker Mike Johnson, who said he believes in compassion when asked about Santos instead of yesterday's nationwide protests.
If President Trump was a king, the government would be open right now.
He said that was irony and that he will not bring back the House until Democrats reopen the government. The Gaza peace agreement under some strain as each side has accused the other of violating the ceasefire. Israel struck targets in southern Gaza, saying Hamas attacked Israeli troops. At least three people were hurt in a shooting at an Oklahoma State University residence hall early this morning. University police say one of the victims is a student. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Wednesday was White Cane Safety Day. The day has been around for 60 years and recognizes people who are blind or have visual impairments. It's also a reminder to motorists to stop 10 feet away from people carrying a white cane.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period. But vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk.
But honking is confusing because we don't know if you're honking at us. You know, we have no way of visually verifying. Are you honking at us? Are you honking to give us information? Are you honking because you're irritated that you had to stop? There's no way to understand what that honk is. So while it's not statutory limited, it's just confusing. We don't know how to interpret it.
Just says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
It's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a four-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number eighth ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine for today, but it will be breezy and quite cool. Highs only in the mid to upper 50s. Tonight, mostly clear skies, chilly, lows in the mid to upper 30s. On Monday, partly sunny skies, a few isolated showers in the afternoon, highs near 60. Right now, it's 45.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
We continue with the music of the star. Hans Zimmer, 1991.
Dear Clarice, I have followed with enthusiasm the course of your disgrace and public shaming. My own never bothered me, except for the inconvenience of being incarcerated. But you may lack perspective. In our discussions down in the dungeon, it was apparent to me that your father, the dead night watchman, figures largely in your value system. I think your success in putting an end to James Gum's career as a couturier pleased you most because you could imagine your father being pleased. But now, alas, you're in bad odor with the FBI. Do you imagine your daddy being shamed by your disgrace? Do you see him in his plain pine box crushed by your failure, the sorry, petty end of a promising career? What is worst about this humiliation, Clarice? Is it how your failure will reflect on your mommy and daddy? Is your worst fear that people will now and forever believe they were indeed just good old trailer camp tornado bait white trash, and that perhaps you are too? By the way, I couldn't help noticing on the FBI's rather dull public website that I have been hoisted from the Bureau's archives of the common criminal and elevated to the more prestigious 10 most wanted list. Is this coincidence, or are you back on the case? If so, goody goody, because I need to come out of retirement and return to public. clearly this new assignment is not your choice. Rather, I suppose it is part of the bargain, but you accepted it, Clarice. Your job is to craft my doom, so I'm not sure how well I should wish you, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. Ta-ta. H.
This is Fred Waring. Thank you.
First film in which Ingrid worked with the man who turned out to be one of her all-time favorite directors, Alfred Hitchcock. It's a movie which asks a provocative question: what happens when it's your psychiatrist who needs to be analyzed? Our next movie is Spellbound, a romantic thriller from Hitchcock and producer David O. Selznick, and the first and only teaming of an exceptionally attractive pair, Ingrid and Gregory Peck. Greg Peck plays a young psychiatrist at a mental institution. Ingrid is a fellow doctor who becomes concerned about her cohort when he begins to behave very strangely. In the course of trying to understand his behavior, she finds out more about him than she ever bargained for. He may not only be very dangerous, he may even be a killer. Nor did she bargain for the fact that she would fall in love with him. Now, at the time this movie was released, psychiatry and psychoanalysis had suddenly become very hot topics in the U.S. Everybody in the moneyed class had their own shrink or wanted to find one. So this was very timely stuff in 1945. Selznick, in fact, paid his own psychiatrist to serve as the technical consultant on the film. Meanwhile, Ingrid Bergman, at this point in her life, was at her most luminous and her most popular. This was one of three wildly popular films that moviegoers saw in that 1 year alone, along with The Bells of St. Mary's and Saratoga Trunk. For Greg Peck, it was only his second year in films. He was 28 years old, not only tall and handsome, but could also act, making him the new leading man that every actress in Hollywood wanted to work with, and soon did. People like Greer Garson, Jennifer Jones, Joan Bennett among them. Now, the film Spellbound was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, including in the categories of Best Director, Best Supporting Actor Michael Chekhov, and Best Picture. And it won the Oscar for Miklos Rose's haunting music score. FYI, Ingrid and Greg were both nominated that year for their acting, but not for this film. Ingrid was nominated for 1945's The Bells of St. Mary's and Greg for 1945's The Keys of the Kingdom. But here's their Hitchcock blockbuster, which also includes a very early film appearance by Rhonda Fleming. Here's Spellbound.
You're holding me spellbound. I am yours heart and soul. What can it be? This magic power that you control. I always feel spellbound every time you are near. My senses reel. I melt completely when you appear. You thrill me so much. It's just like the touch of April when winter is through. It wasn't so bad till I kissed you. Now I can't resist you. I know that I'll stay spellbound. Love will keep me that way. Oh, how I pray I'll hold you spellbound someday. So much, it's just like the touch of April when winter is through. It wasn't so bad till I kissed you. Now I can't resist you. I know that I'll stay spellbound. Love will keep me that way. Oh, how I pray I'll hold you spellbound, spellbound someday.
Music by Miklos Raja. His main love was not movies, although he was in demand all the time, not only for Hitchcock, like Spellbound, but Edward G. Robinson chose him for a picture that he produced himself with his company, The Red House. This may be a great Halloween movie. If you don't care to see ghosts and all that stuff, well, maybe internal ghosts. Great picture with Edward G. Robinson. Julie London. Yeah. And Rod McAllister. Dame Judith Anderson.
Dense forest once covered all of Piney Ridge, but no longer is the region a mystery. Modern highways have penetrated the darkness and brought in the light. Not so in Oxhead Woods, further south. Step into it off the abandoned road that hugs its length, and it's like passing through a wall and closing the door behind you. Obsolete trails wander vaguely, crisscross or break at right angles for no reason. Only one leads to the Morgan farm. Pete Morgan's farm has the allure of a walled castle that everybody knows about, but few have entered. Its only access to the outside world is a country road that passes by. Some miles north connects with a highway near the Renton farm. Joe Renton, like the other farmers hereabouts, is up and coming. Raises good apples. Fine soil everywhere in the valley.
This is one of my favorite pictures. The story of a farmer, Pete Morgan. A guy who harbors grim secrets, memories of long ago love and murder. He lives with his devoted sister. And an adopted daughter. Played by Aline Roberts. The story is, he keeps from his adopted daughter learning the truth about her real parents. And I'm not going to tell you much more. Pete Morgan hires a farmhand, a young kid from the high school.
Why not, Mae?
Well, didn't you know you and Miss Ellen are known as the Mysterious Morgans?
Are we?
Well, they won't say it anymore. Not when I tell them what a swell layout you've got here. And that you spread the best table in the valley.
It's because we're so self-sufficient here. We seldom have any need to go to town.
What else do they say about us, Nate?
Oh, nothing. Except things like Meg not being your daughter, or even related.
Why don't they ask me?
Well, I guess they'd rather whisper gossip than find out the truth.
What gossip?
Well, they say Meg's mother and father ran away and left her when she was still a baby.
Well, that's not true, Nate. Meg's mother and father went down south to find a new farm. They left Meg in our care.
They died down there in a runaway. Pete and I adopted Meg legally. There's nothing to be whispered about, Nate.
She was only 2 years old then.
There's nothing wrong with being adopted. I'm grateful.
Sure. And the next time I hear anybody gossiping about it, I'll say, so what? Meg isn't the only adopted girl in the world. Well, I hate to eat and run, folks, but I think I better get started. It's kind of late, so I thought I'd take a shortcut through Oxhead Woods.
You know your way through those woods?
No, but the wind's cleared the sky.
Well, I'd take the long way around if I were you. I've roamed the Oxhead Woods for years, and I'm as brave as the next man, but I wouldn't cross to those woods at night.
Woods haven't scared me since I was a kid, day or night.
Yes, but you said you didn't know Oxhead Woods.
A tree's a tree, and a trail's a trail.
The trails lead nowhere.
Let the boy go.
I don't want him to get lost.
Where's the dog?
I don't want him to get hurt. Wait. Don't take the Oxhead Woods. The footbridge across the creek is out.
I'll jump across.
Well, there's fog on the other side.
Find the way around it. Look, Mr. Morgan,
take a long way around.
Well, I'll save 2 miles by cutting through the wall.
But you won't save yourself from the screams in the night that will lodge in your bones all your life.
Screams from where?
From the red house.
Well, if I come to it, I'll give it a wide gulp on.
Thank you.
house. Robinson plays a farmer with a wooden leg, living with his sister and an orphan teenage girl, the siblings whom he took in years ago. A friend of the girl's comes to help on the farm, but when he takes a shortcut home through the woods, an irate Robinson warns him of the dangers lurking therein, not least of which is this strange abandoned red house. It seems that this house has a secret, and as the movie unfolds, the real danger of this red cabin in the woods just might reveal itself. Our man of the day, Edward G. Robinson, not only stars in this film, but he also co-produced it with his partner, Saul Lesser, through their company, Thalia Productions. This was their first effort as producers, but while they were only first-timers, they brought in some top-flight talent to make The Red House. The director is Delmer Daves. There's also a haunting score by Miklas Roja, which was one of the first commercially issued film scores on 78s. Also, there's atmospheric cinematography by Burt Glennon. So from 1947, also starring Lon McAllister, Judith Anderson, Rory Calhoun, and a very young scene-stealing Julie London, here is the TCM premiere of The Red House.
It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. You really ought to try it. You walk about and talk about the pleasant things in life. It's so restful in the country. It's the right kind of diet You really ought to try it. You lie and dream beside a stream while daisies nod. Hello. City living is a pretty living. It's so full of unexpected thrills. But there's too much stone, too much telephone. Yes, there's too much of everything but trees and hills. It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. Someday you're bound to try it. The only place to be, the place for you and me, where it's peaceful in the country.
Remarkably gifted men were nominated as actors in a leading role. Here they are. Warren Beatty in Bugsy. Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs. Nick Nolte in The Prince of Tides. Robin Williams in The Fisher King. And the Oscar goes to Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs.
My God, I can't believe it. This is really unexpected. It's a great honor to be here, especially with such great actors like Nick Nolte and Warren Beatty and Robin Williams, Robert De Niro. First of all, before I say that, I want to say hello to my mother. She's in Wales watching this on television with Eve and Jean and Jill and Tony. My father died 11 years ago tonight, so maybe he had something to do with this as well, I don't know. But I want to say thank you to the Academy for your tremendous generosity, to my friend Bob Palmer, my friend and publicist, my dear beloved wife, Jenny, and I have many people to thank here in Los Angeles who, over the years, have given me tremendous support, without whose help I wouldn't be here, I know. And I am greatly honored and tremendously moved. And I, God bless you all. Thank you very much.
By Sir Anthony Hopkins, his beautiful waltz, and the waltz goes on.
We'll be back again next week with more Halloween stuff. Anthony Hopkins composed this. It's Andre Rieu.
Hello everyone, good morning. Well, New Year's coming, it's been a tough year, full of grief and sadness for many, many, many people. But 45 years ago today, I had a wake-up call. I was heading for disaster. I was drinking myself to death. I'm not preachy, but I got a message, a little thought that said, do you want to live or die? And I said, I want to live. And suddenly the relief came and my life has been amazing. And I have my off days and sometimes little bits of doubt and all that, but all in all, I say hang in there. Today is the tomorrow you were so worried about yesterday. You young people, don't give up. Just keep in there. Just keep fighting. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And that sustained me through my life. And that's all I've got to say. And Happy New Year. This is going to be the best year. Thank you.
Ta-ta. H.
No one can hear you if you scream in the night. Isn't that so, Mrs. Dudley?
No one lives any nearer than town. No one will come any nearer than that. In the night. In the dark.
Thank you.
avarice and his betrayal of the Emperor's trust, Pietro Lavinia was disgraced, blinded, and imprisoned. Dante's pilgrim finds Pietro Lavinia on the seventh level of the Inferno. And like Judas Iscariot, he died by hanging. But Judas and Pietro Lavinia are linked in Dante by the avarice he saw in them. In fact, avarice and hanging are linked in medieval mind. And this is the earliest known depiction of crucifixion, carved on an ivory box in Gaul about AD 400. It includes the death by hanging of Judas, his face upturned to the branch that suspends him. Here he is again on the doors of the Benevento Cathedral, hanging, this time with his bowels falling out. And this plate from a 15th century edition of the Inferno, Pietro Lavinia's body hangs from a bleeding tree. I will not belabor the obvious parallel with Judas Iscariot, but Dante Alighieri needed no drawn illustration. It is his genius to make Pietro Lavinia, now in hell, speak in strained hisses and coughing sibilants, as though he is hanging still. Come l'altre verem per nostri spoglia, ma non per qualcuna sendri vesti, che non è giusto aver ciò compositoria. Qui le strascineremo le perle meste selva, saranno i nostri corpi appesi, ciascuno al fondo l'ombra sua molesta. Avarice, hanging, self-destruction. Io feggi, io bettami, le mie case. I make my own home, be my gallows.
Is still alive out there? Is more of the same next week. Civic Media, Radio Network, and the Music of the Stars.
You are never far away from me. When we part, I hold your memory. You linger in my dreams when day has flown, and through the lonely night I'm not alone. And when people care as you and I, there's no sadness in the world. Goodbye. Because you're always in my heart, my friends. Wherever you may be, you are never far away from me.
Good night.
This program is podcast. Want to hear it again? It's at civicmedia.us. Look for shows. We're the Music of the Stars. I'm your host, Lou Regani. More stuff next week for Halloween. And on November 5th, our second anniversary on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for being here and being part of the program and for having fun at Halloween. It's not real. Or is it? Anyway, until next week, keep your dreams alive and reach for the stars.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. Healthcare premiums are going way up. Democrat Hakeem Jeffries tells ABC's This Week, unless Congress reverses healthcare cuts enacted this past summer.
We're talking about the largest cut to Medicaid in American history. Hospitals, nursing homes, and community-based health centers are closing all across America because of what Republicans have done with their one big ugly bill.
That's the issue at the crux of the federal shutdown, which is now 3 weeks old. Democrats are withholding support for a short-term spending bill unless the health care issue is resolved. Republicans say they might discuss health care, but only after the government reopens. Hamas now says they've located the body of another Israeli hostage and are ready to transfer those remains once field conditions allow. And in France, authorities are now searching for a group of thieves who stole the country's crown jewels from the Louvre this morning. The robbers posed as construction workers and escaped on motorcycles, authorities say. This is ABC News. This weekend.